I'm going to do some teaching here. We're going to use a couple scriptures here that I have. We have been teaching, you know, concerning a series that the Lord had me start, dealing with courage. And we got into last time about commitment. And we're going to go on in the areas of commitment. As number one is really the tie of them together. Really, if we look at a scripture, there's scripturally, and I talked about this, there is a tie between courage, commitment, and patience or endurance. And there's a real tie between those if you find in scriptures. And it's important, especially in the areas of courage. You know, courage is not needed when everything's going good. You don't need courage when anything's going good. Courage is needed when it's difficulties. And what you do is you build your courage during the times when there's not difficulties. This is the great failure of most people. Most people, when they get into trouble, then they want to be able to overcome, but they have not prepared to overcome. Sort of like United States, you know, went out through the First World War, and it was the war to end all wars, and they were dumb enough to believe that. You know, any of the difficulties you're facing in life, if you're dumb enough right now to think when this thing's over, it's going to really get good, you need another dip. See, number one, it's about preparation time. I'll guarantee you, there's always a lull between things. And you know what? Most people, this is where their failure comes. This is the failure time. When the lull comes, that's time where things seem to be good. They go to sleep. They go right back to what they did before all of it happened. No, those times are the preparation times. You prepare for it to come. Well, the United States had a First World War and they weren't prepared. A Second World War came and we weren't prepared as a nation. We decided that if we didn't want to go to war, one wouldn't happen. You know, the devil, you sit around and think the devil ain't going to come visit you. He's in your house now if you think like that. He's already in. He's already owns a big piece of property. That's not the way it works. It's preparation time, and you're always doing things preparing for stuff ahead. You know, you don't have to, I've heard this, Kenneth Hagin's told us this over time and time again. He talked about it in school, but I heard him on tapes and things before I ever went to Bible school, but he would say, you don't have to pray or believe for bad times to come. They will come. Stuff will come. Stuff will happen. You go along in life, things will happen. Did you ever notice that? You don't have to believe for them. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad? Now, some people, I think, sort of like work at it. But they keep doing dumb things that bring bad things. We don't want to do that. But times are come along. And so what you do is you stay prepared. You know, when I was in the military and training, you know, before I went to Vietnam, you know, they would just, it was always repetitious training on everything and always was going along. You know, they gave you the same training whether you went to Vietnam or didn't. This is the great fault of the church. Most Christians think, well, you know, I only need this training if something bad happens. No, you need the training because something bad's going to happen, but you need the training, whether you're off to a great war or you're whatever, you might not be doing too much. The military trains everybody. They train us the same. They put us through the same types of training. Why? So we would be prepared. So if anything would happen, they can call on us and they can call on each one. Is in the church world today, you can't call on half the church. The church world today, you can't call on half, well, more than half of it. You can't call it on for nothing. The only thing they want to do is give people hot dogs and hamburgers. And, you know, they want to do that kind of stuff. You can call on them for lunch, but you can't call on them for anything spiritual. Nothing spiritual you can call on them for. When the war starts, they're casualties. You know, they want to put Band-Aids on everything. They're running around. And we need people that can do things. And this is really courage. You want to have courage. You continually. It's one thing as I found out is just, is really the similarity between the word. When the Lord taught me years ago and said, I'm going to take your military training and I'm going to teach you how to walk and live by faith. And I'm going to use your military training. And what he began to do is teach me in the areas of repetition of how, because that's all they did in the military. You were just repetitious. You were just over and over again. If you don't like repetition, that's one of the problems of the church world today. Always wanting a new revelation. revelation, always wanting some kind of new thing. No, you stay in with the old. You stay in with what you, the foundation of things that you know, and you keep going over them. Any successful sports team has a coach who goes over the preliminaries all the time. If he don't, you will not have a successful team. This is why Christians aren't successful. They want to go to church and they want to hear messages that make them, oh boy, everything's just wonderful, everything's good, you're just going to be all right. And then the sky falls. Then Chicken Little's yelling, and it's not the way that it is. It's not life. You know, I'm going along on my Christian walk, and things are just, I'm walking by faith, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and stuff happens. Stuff happens. And then that time comes and proves whether Ed's been paying attention to what he's been doing or whether he doesn't. I find that out. It's one of the things that I can say for this truthfully. When this thing here came along, I was ready. I was ready. I saw what people were doing. Had no concern, no worry about any of it and that stuff. I knew on the inside. See, I've been working at it. The inside's dominating and ruling and not the outside. The inside's reigning and ruling. And it's like, hallelujah. The inside man, we've been feeding him and we've been yelling at him and we've been making him do stuff. And now he's ready to fight. Now, the guy on the inside, and you know what? The outside man is subdued. Because now, you see, the inside man's stronger. See, most people, the outside man's the strong man. Hallelujah. That's why you keep training that guy on the inside. Keep feeding him on the inside. That guy on the inside, he's going to have to slap the outside man down. He's going to have to do it. That's what it is. There ain't nothing wrong when that happens. That's good. That's a good sign. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When that inside man says to the outside man, shut up. We ain't going there. We ain't doing that. And so you want to have that. But we build courage. And see, that's what it is. Good training in the military made you have courage. Why? Because when something bad happened, you knew what to do. People who don't have courage is for the main reason, you don't know what to do. If you don't know what to do, you can't have courage. That's an impossibility. You can't have courage, you don't know what to do. See, one thing is I learned over time, I can always look on the inside because there's one in me and he's a know-it-all. He knows everything. There's nothing he don't know. There's nothing hidden from him. All the data of timelessness with God is in him. The Holy Ghost knows it all. He knows everything that Jesus Christ knows. He knows everything the Father knows. Hallelujah. See, you know, in many ways, you know, we have today, you know, everybody, you know, people go, well, you want to find out about something, go on YouTube. You can go to this, go to that. You can find all these things. Well, see, it has been like that all the time with the inner man. See, what the church world generally has done is they have waited to somebody else to find it out, and then we go find out what they found out, while one is in us that knows what right away. So we wait months and months and sometimes years to get information, when the whole time that information was on the inside of us, but we didn't have faith to look on the inside. We didn't have any faith on the inner man, what's going on the inside. They never looked there. We're always looking on the outside for somebody to show us what to do. Somebody out there, I gotta wait for a message. Maybe somebody will preach it. Maybe somebody else will study it and find it. Man, I know the guy personally who has studied it all in advance and knows it all, and he's the big know-it-all, and he's on the inside. Thank God what I was taught from other people, but the people that taught me well taught me to look for myself. See, the church generally does it in the world today. They don't look for themselves. They're looking for everybody else to look up it for them, trying to get everybody else to find it. Spending their time. I'll tell you what, I don't get messages offline. I don't get sermons offline. I don't have to look to see who's saying about what. I can tell you. I know more about things of the future than these so-called people saying about they know something about the future. I ain't no genius, but I know the genius. And he knows about this stuff. And he's operating and preparing us, and it's for this purpose. You'd have courage. Because when times come, you're not thrown off. God don't want you thrown off. He wants you to be so secure. He wants you steadfast. See, God wouldn't ask you to be steadfast. You couldn't be steadfast. And you can't be steadfast if you're ignorant. It's so you know. Hallelujah. I'm sure that God has desired to show us a lot more than we know. And we want to get over and rely on him. And look on the inside. Hallelujah. These are the days to live on the inside. These are the days for it. Because living on the outside will bring fear. There's a lot of questioning on the outside. What people are doing and stuff. You don't want to live there. One thing, you don't want to ever lose your joy. An impossibility to walk by faith and lose your joy. Can't do it. Can't lose your joy. Hallelujah. You know, I was just listening to a thing. For about the past 6 months or more. Well, it's been more than 6 months. I've been hooked on this series I have of healing that Kenneth Hagin taught during a minister's conference thing. And I can't get away from this thing. Somehow every time I've tried to go over and look at other stuff and listen to other things, and it just keeps coming back to that. And I go back and listen to it again, and it's like, I just need to be listening to this. I just need to be hearing it. But him talking about things in the areas of healings, we're dealing here with courage. But you sit and listen to things, and what these people, they're teaching is like, I think in his teaching, the things about dealing with us. And what I liked about this series, because this series really deals with us as a person, as an individual. And it's finding out why, what's going on, what's happening. Knowing what's going on around you, knowing what's happening, knowing why things, if it ain't working, why ain't it working for me? And see, this one thing is I realize we have a problem today in this area. The faith people especially have this problem. They just keep making confessions but never find out what the problem is. Why? You know, why are things happening? I want to know. Are things preventable? I found this out over the years. There's many things I could have prevented. Would have never happened. There's many things that, because of not paying attention, things came along and things happened. And so it's not finding out. And listening to these things, and sitting down, and I found out this about his success was, if anything happened, he checked out to find out what could, concerning himself. Why did this happen? Why did this take place? What was involved with this thing? Defining out things. He wanted to know. He wanted to know where he stood. See, and I found out it's a great payoff. When I had the blood clot in my lung, the first thing I wanted to know from God wasn't about, did I miss it somewhere that I had this? What'd I do? What'd I miss? I want to know. You see, you can stand in this faith thing all you want, but if you're into something that's causing you a problem, standing there and making confessions ain't going to change that. You're going to have to find out what that is and correct that. Sometimes people do things to sin and opens the door to something. And if I isn't dealt with, that door is open. Something will come again. Well, I didn't want it to come again. I don't know about you. I didn't want a second dose. So before any doctors got to me or anything, I'm asking, Lord, did I miss it somewhere? Something I need to know? Is there something that I need to know to do? I wanted to know that. And I was sitting in the ER, I'm sitting on a table, and I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to God. You know, I don't know anybody else, but whatever's going on, not interested. There's one person I'm interested in hearing from, and it wasn't a doctor. What do you want to hear from? See, most people want to hear from God, but all their ears turn toward men. I ain't paying attention to what's going on around me. I ain't paying attention to nobody. I want to know. I need an answer. Why? Because I want to make sure when I'm applying my faith, this thing's going to work. I ain't going to be 2 months down the road and still playing a faith game. And it ain't worked yet. Making confessions that don't come to pass. See, I need to know. Because if there's something, if I'm out of line, I want to know. Do I need to get in line? See, to me, this just makes sense. But we, today, that don't make sense. Faith don't teach us stuff. They just say, oh, keep believing God. It ain't working. It's not working. So, I was sitting there. And you know what? Now I was looking on the inside because see, the one I'm interested in, he's on the inside. The one on the interest is on the inside. I ain't talking to God out there sitting in on some big seat someplace. Trying to get a hold of that guy, that old man, you know, sitting on that thing. And he's just ancient, you know, up there. There's a God. He's inside of me. And I need to hear from that God. And I know to hear him, I'm going to have to listen on the inside. And he spoke to me. Wasn't no thundering voice. It wasn't on, just on the inside of me. This just rose up in me. Don't be concerned about anything. Everything's going to be all right. Well, once I knew that, that changed everything. Now I know I can apply my faith and we're going to tear this thing up. You see, we need to, we do so much in Christianity without God. We're doing too much without God. We don't join together. Look, it's faith in His words. It's faith in what He says and He's doing that works for us. It's not your faith. If what you're believing isn't in line with what He's doing, you'll be there tomorrow or either in the grave and off to be with Jesus, well, which is good. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But I just know this. I wasn't supposed to be departing with Christ. So I want to find out what I need to do. You keep your faith over in the area. You know, it's where you're always tied to God, where you're always listening to God. I've always stayed with the things that Dr. Cho from Korea said. He said, it doesn't matter where he's at or what he's doing. He said, I can be sitting in a room with world leaders. And he said, my heart's always turned toward God. Can you say that? I know too many times my heart, I was listening to other things, but I didn't keep myself. See, you keep yourself over is what's important. This is what we want to talk about because we're dealing with subject commitment. I ain't got off onto something. We're dealing with commitment because you need to understand when we deal with the subject of courage, you're going to have courage because there's things you're going to need to commit to. And commitment is, we said some last week, commitment always requires sacrifice. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as commitment without sacrifice. You know, when I was single and I married Wanda, there was a commitment made toward her. I couldn't be a single guy anymore. This is why marriages fail today, because marriages have no commitment. They just say they make vows. But those vows aren't made of commitment by most people. There's no commitment in it. Most people get married for self-centered, selfish reasons. They think it's going to turn out better for them. I found this out. You get married, you get a whole new set of trouble. And it has all about this patient endurance stuff, huh, Mike? It does. But see, it's commitment. But there is payoff to it. I like married life. I don't want single life. I got tired of single life because every time I dated some girl, she wanted to get married right away. So I just got sick of that. I thought, man, they don't know you 2 minutes. They won't get married. I ain't into this. You're gun shy. You carry a gun with you. You go dating because, you know, her dad might have a shotgun and he's going to come out. You got to marry this girl, you know. You know what? But you know, so I didn't, and it's like I like married life. I didn't like dating and that stuff, and I didn't really care for it too much. I wasn't crazy over dating and all kind of different people and stuff and things like that. Didn't excite me at all. As too many of them, you just were like, okay, let's go. Let's go do something else. I had enough sense to know that, you know, marriage had a little bit something else into it. As most people don't, you know. It's like today, I get all this people, but people are spending fortunes on a wedding that they're going to be, you know, it's going to last them 15 minutes when it's done. because the wedding and all that is so important. If you think like that, you're weird. It ain't. All of that stuff. It's when every day you're together. It's about the commitment that's made. It's what it's going to be required to do this. And it's going to require sacrifice. And see, I never realized that till, you know, as much till I got born again. And God started to deal with me because really I wasn't doing that. I wasn't sacrificing in the marriage. And you have to. That's part of it on both sides. You know, you've heard me say this before. I have never, say in counseling, had a couple that I asked him about, you know, why do you love the other person? Every person has always said, and what they don't realize, it is actually pretty selfish. Everybody always says why they love the other person. It's always because of nice things they do for me. Well, you're going to get married, and some of that will stop. And they'll do some things you ain't going to like. And what are you going to do? Are you going to carry your commitment, or are you going to be moved by their, maybe if they have a lack of commitment? What's this going to do? Well, how's this going to work? What are we going to do? This love thing, this God love thing, takes a real commitment to carry it out. It takes a real commitment to carry out a God love thing. It does. And most people today, we live in a society that's generally non-committal. It's non-committal. It's, you know, it's whatever works for me. I mean, isn't it terrible today as ministers, you've got to counsel people and you've got to stop and ask them if divorce, if they have, you know, what you think a divorce is okay, you know, if you don't think it's working around, just go ahead and get a divorce. You have to ask people that today. They plan on going into the thing that the door is always open for divorce. Christians do. Now, I wouldn't marry anybody. I wouldn't do it. Once a person tell me that. See, if I do any kind of, for people over the years, you do people for counseling. I don't tell people, because I'm going to marry you, I'm going to do counseling. No, it's when counseling is done, we'll find out if I'm going to do the ceremony or not. That's what it is. Any couple who I turned down, and they got married, they've gotten divorced. And you know what? It ain't no being no prophet. It ain't no vision. You can just tell up front. You feed the reasons of things, people, and you can just know. It ain't going to work. It's not going to. And, those kind of things and going through those kind of things because of commitment and that stuff, it don't work. It's really hurtful in life because people get hurt like crazy out of it. Kids grow up messed up and everything else and all kinds of stuff happens because of these things. Well, let's avoid some problems, huh? Let's avoid some things. The church doesn't minister well in this area. And the reason it is because commitment is not what the congregation usually wants to hear. You know why? You can't preach the subject without it stepping on your toes. My God, I got to study the things. I've heard this more than you have because I've studied it. And it steps on your toes and you stop and say, boy, man, I need to get in line with this. You go through it. But I'm interested in this, and it's called payoff. I'm interested in payoff. See, I'm not like a lot of Christians. I look at the benefits. See, There are benefits to follow Christ. There's things that will be hardships to follow Christ. But the benefits are so great, it is worth the sacrifice of those other things. God will never have a person lay something down without offering something so much greater. Most people, whatever's in front of them. And I'll tell you, God most of the time will speak to us about things that are in front of us. And the things we become attached to, whether they're good for us or not. And he'll throw that thing in your face. And why? Because he wants to offer you something better. He wants you to offer you to something, a place that is more glorious. Something that will lead you and open the door for you to something. Something greater. Now, many times we want the greater thing, but we don't realize you can't have those two because they don't mix. See, I found out over time, you know, some people, there's certain things that they can be around and don't bother them in the least. Another person, the same thing, they can't. They got to get away from it. God knows that. There's things you know, another person don't affect that much. Another person, it is just, they need to get away from it. And God sees that. God knows about it. We have different personalities. We have difference about us things. This is why I think a lot of books have been hurtful. They've used scriptures, but they put everybody in a can situation. And so everybody just do the same thing. Well, it don't work that way. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit works in me differently. He works in me according to how He knows I operate. See, I like somebody talks to me direct. I don't like somebody, don't mix words. Just tell me I'm an idiot. I'll get over it. See, most people, you couldn't talk to them that way. Even if God told them they were an idiot, they would be so devastated. Tomorrow, they'd get the gun out and shoot themselves. They just couldn't stand it. They have to be petted and pattered and patted. Just, you know. And the Holy Ghost, many times, people don't realize it. The Holy Ghost is like that with them. Because He knows. They just can't handle it. They don't do it. To me, I was in a family of like, if mom or dad wanted to say something to you, they said it. And we knew, we didn't go run and cry in the corner. It's just the way they did it in the house. You know, they just tell you. And they didn't tell you to be mean, but they just tell you. Today, we have this tender society that has a hard time listening. And God is trying to reach people. And we don't want Him to blow. You don't want Him to blow up on the scene if you're one of them tender ones that just, oh, every little thing hurts you. You don't want Him to blow up on the scene because you wouldn't be able to take it. Understand this about Him. That's why, you know, you can't just sit down and everything's just so canned. I've learned it over the years. There's things in that stuff that God speaks to me. I know you can. There's things that I know concerning people, not just people here. I know that I have the answer to people's problems. I could go and tell them exactly what to do. But I know this. If I said it to them, they'd be mad as a hornet. You can't say it to him. And I know this, God can't say it to him either. And He can't get somebody goes because He knows how they're going to act about it. So He won't say anything. Because He knows this, if He does, they'll never listen in that area again because they'll get offended and they will never listen there again. So He'll tenderly try to nudge and to nudge and to nudge. And what somebody might take them 15 minutes to come to a problem to correct it, that person will spend 10 years till they finally get around and get it corrected. Say, well, I'm just trusting the Lord. Well, God had a reason for taking it so long. Yeah, it was because you're hard-headed. Now, I know none of you have been hard-headed. It's only been me. I've been the only guy. The rest of you are so good. It's so responsive to God. That's why I learned to let Him talk to me straight, because I can be a knucklehead, and you just won't admit it. Talk to me straight, Lord. Hallelujah. But He doesn't ever do it to me. God's always leading you to something better. I want to read you, this is a very difficult scripture. I want to read this to you from Luke, the 14th chapter. Now, these are very, but this is Jesus talking. And we're going to start here today. We're not going to finish up. We're going to start with these scriptures here. Because these are hugely difficult scriptures that we generally, especially today, you don't hear these preached a lot. And sometimes they preach them, they're out of context. We want to look at them in their context about what it's really saying. Because it can bring condemnation on people. Instead of helping them grow up, it'll lead them to the place where they quit. You know, just, throwing in the towel, I ain't getting nowhere, I ain't going no place. And we're dealing in the areas of commitment. Now, we're talking about commitment, because commitment. And how much commitment. What does Jesus say about my commitment to Him? See, this is one thing, as we're dealing, and let me say this going into this. This is one of the things the Lord started dealing with me when I was when a young Christian, I first got born again. He spoke to me about Wanda and told me that Wanda didn't trust me. And which she didn't, you know, I was crazy and she didn't trust me. He said, now you let her alone on things. He told me not to preach to her about stuff. You know, when I couldn't say, you'd find out things about, don't say nothing. Let it alone. He told me not to even witness to her. I never witnessed to Wanda. I never witnessed to her at all about it. I just told her that I accepted Christ, and she thought I was just going through another stage of life, you know. But he told me that I had to change so she could trust me. And really, I had to learn, as a young Christian, I had to learn right away to be led by the Spirit, because really, wasn't many preachers out here preaching you anything that could get you to the place in those areas. You know, even a lot of faith people, they're just teaching, oh, just believe God, trust God. You needed more. I needed more than that. I needed to know how to act like a husband. Well, if you'd have listened to, there was things that I tried to listen to on marriage seminar stuff, and I found out what you do with that is burn it immediately. It's the dumbest stuff you ever heard in your life. What I needed to find out about me, what I had to change and what I had to do to walk. And so God started to deal with me in that. One of the big things that I found this out is you had to learn to be led by the Spirit, because God wanted to manifest through me that she could see it and to see that I wasn't just doing something. I ain't just saying words and speaking words about stuff and making confessions of faith and doing stuff. That God was working through me. Needed to know that. And it's one of the things that I found this out is, number one, my greatest commitment had to be to God. And that's your greatest need. The success of marriages, the success of relationships is always founded in this. Is not trying to work on that relationship. Is number one is to work on your relationship with God. That's number one on the list. Listen what Jesus said in Luke, the 14th chapter. Listen what Jesus, these are the words of Jesus. So, you know, if you don't like hearing him, don't talk to me about that. You go talk to Jesus about it. He said it. I didn't. I'm just reading what he said. Jesus said this. Now listen, Jesus, verse 26. If anyone comes to me, now he's talking about coming to him. They come to him now, and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Woo! Ain't that a cute statement? Well, how come Christians don't jump pews when that happens? I just don't get it. Now, I've heard sermons over the years where people start making excuses for these scriptures. But I want you to see, verse 27, he said, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He said, he can't. So he names two things that must be done to become a disciple. Now see, here's one of the things that we want to know in context. He's not talking here about somebody being born again. See, you can be born again and never become a disciple. The average Christian never becomes a disciple. Most people don't even get a born again with a chance of becoming a disciple because it's the way they're led to Christ. We'll find this, I want to teach that today, but we're going to look at this. Of what the Bible, Jesus said we're supposed to do in our coming to Him. Which is not we preach the gospel today. Gospel is very seldom preached. Not what Jesus said. It doesn't get preached. But see, this success. Now, one of the things that I don't know why I did it, it may have had to do with some of our upbringing and things as we were as kids. My parents were very big in making us responsible for things, you know. You grow in a home and, you know, we didn't have one or two kids. Mama can't take care of everybody. It's not like today. Kids do very little and the parents take care of everything. We took care of stuff. I mean, we had to do cleaning around. Even boys, we did cleaning around the house. We had our stuff we had to do. And if it wasn't done, I'm going to tell you what, you might see Jesus early. They would, you know, you had your thing, you had your church. This stuff you carried out, you did. That was the way it was. There wasn't discussion about it. You know, my mama was this tall. But I'm going to tell you, she was Godzilla, man. Mama was a nice, sweet lady. So you didn't do what she said. Then it was, and you were like, oh my God, we're going to do it. Mama will come and visit you. And you go to bed at night and sleep. Not good. Mama may come visit you. You know, I could run fast, but you would, if you're going to run away from Mom, don't ever come home, because you come back, she's going to get a hold of you. You can't come back for lunch. She's at the table. And she's going to deal with you. My mom wasn't mean to us. Everything she ever punished me for, I deserved it tenfold. She was right. She was right on it. And but you know, it's one thing. Because of those things, we understood that there had to be a dedication and commitment to things that you had to do. That just, this is the way, this is life. So when I got born again, I went to Jesus in that manner. See, I didn't get born again in a church. I wasn't in a church. I hadn't been in a church for so many years. From the time of, you know, being a kid, hardly ever getting in a church, going to those places, that stuff when people got married and you go to the church and your sinner friends and relatives get married. And I used to think, what a bunch of hypocrites. They go to a church, never show up in church any other time. Then like God's just so excited they went to a church and some lying, backslidden minister quoted things of God over them. And prayed prayers that were never going to be answered. And did all those kind of things. All fake. Nobody there cared about God at all. It was about getting to the booze after. So we can throw up on our shoes and go home. Oh, the truth will make you free. You know? People were doing. And I used to think, what a bunch of hypocrites. You just want, I wouldn't get married to church. We got married. I said, I ain't going to church. I said, I don't go to church for nothing. I knew this whole thing. It's a fake thing. People do. Like they think it's going to act to do something for you. Don't do anything for you. What did something for me is when I got born again. That did something for me. That's the thing I did in my life, was the right thing to do when I got born again. Changed my life. But we're dealing with this subject here of commitment, because of making a commitment, because commitment is so important, because I knew that you make a commitment. So when I got saved, I did one thing, is I made a confession of Jesus Christ as my Lord. I did. I got down beside a sofa, 321 Canal Street. It was in January. I was in the living room. Wanda was in bed. Kids were in bed. I'd come home. I was on second shift. And I knelt down by the sofa in the living room there, and I received Christ. But I didn't just go pray a prayer. See, we have people pray a prayer of faith today, but we want to find out Jesus talked about commitment. And we have nobody ever talked that. I don't know why, but I made a commitment that night. That night, I said, Lord, I followed the devil, and I did everything he wanted me to do. I said, I lived, did whatever. Said, didn't care about nobody else or whatever my effect was on anybody or anything. It was for my pleasure. And I said, just the way I follow the devil, I said, I'm going to follow you. I said, whatever you want me to do or whatever you've called me to do, I said, I'll do it. I'll follow it. And the Lord didn't, I didn't hear a voice say to me, but I just knew on the inside of me when I made this commitment that the Lord called me to the ministry and called me to preach the gospel. I knew it. I just knew it. But I made a commitment that night. And over the years, numbers of times, the Lord has reminded me that that commitment is what's kept me all these years. See, most people have never made a commitment to God. They want everything God got, but they've never given themselves to God. They've never used their voice and give themselves. They're always using their voice to get something from God. That's all they do. Trying to get something. We know very little about praying the Khmer commitment. There's many times, I tell you what, God wants you to do things and it ain't easy to do. And I just got to stop and commit myself to it. Say, Lord, I don't want to do that, but I'm just going to set myself. I'm going to do what you want me. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do. See, you don't need an anointing to get a commitment out of you. See, everybody will give me the anointing, and when I feel everything's going to work out okay, then I'll get committed to something. Ain't the way it works. It's not the way it works. See, it's committing ourselves. And I never realized why I did it. I can mostly just think about it because just it was the nature that I was raised under about being committed. And I just said, well, I'm going in a direction. I'm just going to do this thing. I'm going to do it. And I voiced it to the Lord that night. One of the best things I ever did. You know, I found this many times, and I've seen this. Even Billy Graham admitted it himself. Billy Graham was, quote, so-called Christian for many years, numbers of years, and was going nowhere as a Christian. And said he didn't go anywhere till the night that he made Jesus Lord of his life. He made a commitment to God. He made Jesus Lord. Probably the night he got saved. He was probably religious before that. I've had people, years ago, a long time ago, we first started the church. There was a woman coming to our church, and she said, come up to me one time and said, you know, she said, I was a Christian for, like she said, like 20 years, but she said, my life really changed when I made Jesus Lord. And I just looked at her and said, yeah, it's when you finally got born again. I said, the Bible says you're supposed to, Jesus is supposed to be Lord in the beginning of the thing. See, many people want salvation, and we have all this salvation stuff preached. It's about Jesus saved me without Jesus. Jesus being Lord. You can't make somebody Lord without being committed to them, because you're going to have to sacrifice to have somebody Lord over you. There's things that they're going to require of you that you're not going to be. There's things in my life that ain't my life no more. I don't have it no more. It's not my choice anymore. And I gave that up when I made him Lord. Then there had to be a commitment. You see, we've missed these things. We've gotten over into to stuff we call, you know, Christianity, and I don't know how much Christianity is in some of it. But here we find out there's number one here with this one. We said about becoming a disciple. See, you can get born again, but to become a disciple. Now, disciples, we're going to go into this next week. We won't go into it this week. But we're going to say a commitment for a disciple. There's revelation and things from God you will never, ever get nor understand where the Holy Spirit will never give you till you become a disciple. We see Jesus worked in that manner concerning his disciples. He even told them, we're going to look at scriptures, where he even told them. He told people, he said to them, the crowds, see, most of Christianity today is the crowd. And you know what they get spoken to? Parables. They hear stuff, they don't know what it means. The Holy Spirit don't give revelation. The Holy Spirit reveals his, he don't give pearls to swine. See, that's why some people, every one of us has been around people and you said, don't they ever hear what's said? They heard that message and it just didn't seem to, why? Because they ain't a disciple. The Holy Spirit's not revealing it to them. The Holy Spirit's not given. They're not dedicated to God. They're dedicated to something else. Their time and commitments to something else. See, this is why it's so important that we give commitment. Why? Because there's the treasure of revelation. The treasure of revelation. That's what will revolutionize your life and change your life. When God's revelation started coming to me. I was totally astounded at this because when I first got born again, revelation started coming to me so much. I was astounded. I'd get around people, spirit-filled people, been spirit-filled 10, 20 years. And I'm 3 months and have more revelation, 3 months as a Christian, have more revelation in some areas than they have in 20 years. I'm thinking, what on earth is this? What's wrong? What is it? I learn over time. There's a huge difference being a Christian and being a disciple. There's an enormous difference between the two. And we need to understand that today. You see, they have these things they call discipleship programs. And what they do is, well, you just take it because to come to hear some teaching. That's not enough. A person must commit themselves and they must do it knowingly, acknowledging that they're committing themselves to Jesus Christ. That they are committing self to a way of life. They're committing themselves. Look, that isn't the people that don't become disciples won't go to heaven. They'll go to heaven, but I'll tell you what, you're going to have to become a disciple there. You're going to have to sit and be taught and be taught and be taught and be taught. Why? If you don't, you'll never be the follower God wants. God ain't a bunch of backslidden buzzards running around heaven. There's ministers that are going to go to first grade when they get to heaven. There are spirit-filled ministers who are going to be going to first grade when they get to, well, probably kindergarten. Oh, they know how to get a, you can know how to get a sermon and get and say stuff and things, but really not walk in revelation of anything. Sometimes I listen to ministers and stuff for you on TV, and I listen to them and I think, dear God, these poor people. It's like, you know, they're just information givers. I get these things sent to me, and they'll say, you know, we'll send you for such and such amount of money sermons for the next, you know, 490 sermons, Sundays, you know, and you can follow through with them. Well, number one, if they ain't making money doing that, they ain't selling them. They're selling them things because they're making money, because ministers are buying them. And I know it, because you ever watch it? I mean, don't most ministry follow the holidays? Even the spirit-filled ministers do it. They follow the holidays. Their sermons are always in line. You know, Rhema does that anymore. I don't care what holiday, the sermon coming out is on that for that holiday. God don't know nothing to say but when a holiday comes up. God's led by holidays. Didn't know that. Didn't realize I didn't need the Holy Ghost. All I had to do is get the American calendar. And I had my sermon. Dear God. Gee. You know, you can't send these guys to another country. They don't know the holidays. He wouldn't have a sermon. I want to read you. Now we read that there. Hey, you know what that word, and we read the word to hate. Now, you know it couldn't really mean that, could it? It couldn't really. The Greek word couldn't really mean that. Yes, it does. It means exactly that. I looked it up. The primary meaning of this word is hatred. Yeah, to detest. Oh my God, especially to persecute. Oh my God. I like this. Then they put in there, to love less. I haven't found it was actually used from that standpoint, but because the final finality is hate and hateful. Oh man, don't it excite you? Look, folks, stay with God. Always stay with God, you know. See, this is why people don't want... I knew, you know, these things, God has to be ministering us to help us. He ain't trying to destroy our relationships with people. He's trying to enhance it. That's his intent. If you don't know that and these things get you all mixed up in trouble, it's because you know very little about him. See, it's one thing, you always stick with God. It's one thing they told us at Rhema. No matter what the Bible says and you don't understand or you're trying, always stick with God. He's right, he's good. You just stay with God. God has a meaning, he has something that this is going to turn out for good for. Stick with it. See, you'll never be a faith person in case if you can't do that. Because faith will require you to walk in what don't seem right. Faith will require you to stand when it looks like you're going to die. And you'll stand and say, I'm going to believe God. But if we do that, well, if I give my money away, my words, I ain't going to have nothing left and I'm going under. And the Bible says, giving the Holy Ghost saying, you need to give that money away to so-and-so over there. You need to give it to them. And that's where it takes you. Go over there and walking in faith. Well, don't seem right, seems crazy. Don't matter what it says. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to go do that. And then get blessed. Wanda and I have never one time ever done something like that that we haven't got blessed out of it. That one time. We've always learned to follow that. And now we're at the point God don't even have to tell us to do that stuff anymore. We'll just see it needs done and go do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why? Because I want something good to happen to me. I don't know. Maybe I need it more than you guys do. I don't know. Maybe you don't need much. I do. I need all the help I can get. I'm going after. Now let's listen to the Amplified Bible. Because the Amplified Bible gives us, you know, I think it does a really good job. It says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother in the sense of indifference to or relative disregard for them in comparison with his attitude toward God. And likewise, his wife, children, and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Next round, verse 27. Whoever does not carry his own cross expressed. Now, this is funny because most teachings I've ever heard, they will use the Amplified on verse 26, but they never use the Amplified on verse 27. Especially faith people. They don't do this. Whoever does not carry his own cross, express a willingness to endure whatever may come, and follow after me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me, cannot be my disciple. Now, whether you want to believe that or not, that's the truth. We know little today. I'm speaking about faith people because I'm in this camp. And it's one of the things we know very little about, or they don't talk about the areas of, you know, you just dedicate your life to something that you'd throw your all into it no matter what. No matter what the outcome. See, if this Jesus isn't worth dying for, he ain't worth living for. Loads of people have given their life to this thing. I want you to, you know, it's just like, you know, when you go over the faith people and they get out their Bibles and they go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and they always read the beginning verses, but you don't read the end of the chapter because that ain't no fun. That one ain't fun. I'm going to read you the end of the chapter. But I want you to see about these people, because when I read about these, I want to have the attitude of these people. You know, I mean, think about Abraham. You know, we talk so frivolously about Abraham, the willingness to sacrifice his son. He wasn't born again. You couldn't get born again people to do that today. You couldn't get no big name faith minister to do that today. We talk about those things. Those things have always, you know, from me, my standpoint, I always think about, man, that guy came to the place where his faith, he wasn't born again, but his faith had arisen to the place that if I follow the will of God, he's going to bless me concerning this kid. And I'll follow his will to do that. Well, it needs to make some growing up. I need to get some growing up. And so do you. We talk about faith and stepping out there. I don't know about you. I don't know many Abrahams today. He's the father of our faith. Today, he don't have many good offspring of faith. But see, I believe we can rise into that place. You know, it's just like our nation. You know, we do the things as we honor people. You know, we have tomorrow's Memorial Day. We honor the people that gave their lives. There's people who just willingly, you know, knew that they were going to die. We had a Second World War. Knowing. Guys storming beaches in the Pacific. Knowing full well the first wave that going in through, that the majority of them are going to die. And you know what? They got off and went. You can't get the average Christian today, call himself a faith person, to do anything that'd give them a hangnail. They wouldn't do it. Worried about, you know, worried about every little thing. Might not have enough. Might not get this enough. Oh, pray for me. Pray for me for this and pray for me. I think sometimes people ask me over the years of praying for stuff, and I'm thinking, dear Lord, if that's the worst thing that's happened to you in your life, get a life. Every little thing, every little trouble, every little problem. It's like, oh, it has to do with commitment. Now listen to this. I'm going to start off here in Hebrews 11 chapter, and I'm going to read these to you, and then we can just cry when it's over and say, oh, God, forgive us. No, I just, no, but I want you to listen to it, because these things are not said here to discourage us. They're to inspire us. And they inspire me. These kinds of people inspire me. Somebody who's went the full mark. Somebody whom God, through the Apostle Paul, got to write down about him in here. I want to tell you what. This is what I want to be like. These are the people I want to be like. This is what I want to come to. I want to have something in life that is so important to me that I would throw my all into it, everything. I would just throw it into it. This is what's the matter with our nation today. You know, when we started as a nation, Wealthy men threw everything they had in and went to war, threw all their money and got into this thing. Why? Because there was something they felt was more important. The church has not done that yet in America. The church has keep, how can I get more? How can I have more? How can I, that ain't it! That's not it. How can I be more dedicated? How can I become more consecrated to this thing? How can I let God use me like He would really like to? How can I come to that place? What do I do that I arrive at that spot? Can you imagine the payoff where God can use you exactly like He'd want to? I mean, He's so excited, He'd get off the throne and dance around that thing a number of times. He'd just, woo, glory. Hallelujah. Well, let's listen. Verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Now, I want you to think about it. He's talking about these guys walked around Jericho 7 times, kept their blab mouth shut. Can you imagine that? You get Christians, they keep their blab mouth shut? That ain't happening. Anyhow, walked around 7 days, and walls fell down. My God. Rahab put her life on the line, definitely. This woman was really to give her life. She say that, when you read that story, she heard what God was doing and respected it. And put her life on, a heathen put their life on the line. Oh, hallelujah. How would you want to be a Rahab? Hallelujah. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth and also of David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness, were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Can you? Somebody was looking for an eternal reward that was greater than staying here. My God, where are they, Lord Jesus? The reward that is greater. My. Still others had trials of mocking and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these having obtained a good testimony through faith. Said, y'all gotta get, this is a good testimony. Well, we talk about a testimony. How'd you like some of these testimonies? Go tell somebody. This is what I, look what I did. Woo! My God. A good through faith did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Now the people stop there. This is the end of chapter. I'm sorry. That's where man put end of chapter. God did not. The next verse. Hear what the next verse says. Chapter 1, verse 12. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are the cloud of witnesses? It's these people. All of these people mentioned here were unsaved and yet lived like this for God. Unsaved. These were people on the basis of a covenant that made a promise to the future they never got. And it was so true to them, they die for it. They do whatever it is. And I said, Lord, forgive me. Now we can look at it and feel condemned if you want to, but I want to tell you what. I want them looking down there and saying, Ed, go after. I don't look down there and say, what are them scoundrels doing? My God, all we went through, and look what them people are doing down there. You know, that's most of the church world. They're looking down and saying, my God, what are those people doing? No dedication, no consecration to nothing. Down there playing church. These are the kinds of people that are watching us. This is the crowd of witnesses. These are the ones who stood, even though they didn't get the promise, they stood and looking at the people that can have the promise. They're looking down here at the people of promise. You see, there's a commitment. There's a place of walking, of faith, that is in a higher level. I want to go there, don't you? See, I'm dedicated to this fact. I would definitely give my life for this gospel. I would do it. This is worth dying for. It is worth dying for. And I would do it. You know, just like when I was in the military. You know, I was in Vietnam. I know you can die there. But you know, I never thought the thing is something worth dying for. I can't believe how people claw to life today. Especially Christians. My words. Go to Jesus, which is far better. But Christians just claw at life like, oh my God, I don't want to get over on the other side. You see, it's getting into the Word builds your confidence. It builds your courage. And you'll make commitment. There's nobody, you can tell yourself, if you don't have courage, you're not going to make a commitment. Commitments are made because of courage. This is what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. When courage arises, this is what I'm going to do. And courage comes from the Word. Courage comes, I want to tell you what, by reading these things. Do you know, from a natural standpoint, you go down, you know, every year we go down, they had air show down here, the Second World War air show, and you listen to the men and the things that those guys went through and they talk about the hardships. But the wonderful thing you see about the courage of these people, you never have a speaker who's a complainer, who's griping about problems going on. Isn't one of the most remarkable things about the great attitude those people have? It's almost like they were reading the Amplified there about the attitude thing, you know? Yeah, isn't it? Their attitude, why? They have set themselves and built themselves in an area and they're full of courage and they're committed to things and they think there's things that are much more important in life than the average person does. The average person don't even shine a candle on their life. My God, we listened to one guy talking to me. Auschwitz. Dear Lord, he had a better attitude than 99% of Christians do. And he's a Jew. He wasn't even born again. But his attitude about life. He ain't mad at nobody. Glory to God, he had more sense a little bit. He ain't mad at nobody. He's not trying to get anything at nobody. He just tells what he went through and that stuff. But he said his life's been good. And he said all this stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, man, you need to shut up the next time you think something bad happened. When I listen to our nation and people whine today with this going on, we don't even know what devastation is. We ain't got a clue. Do you ever think about Russia, the Second World War? 23 million Russians died. 23 million. And the whining Americans today and the junk going on. Whining, just moaning and groaning and don't even know what suffering is. 23 million Russians died. What happened? 23 million Americans died. My words, there'd be another 23 million suicides. We've lost something. And it's for this reason. The church has lost something. When the church becomes dedicated to something, it affects the nation. And until the church becomes dedicated to something and committed to something, it can't change the nation. We got to bring the spirit of victory back to the church. We got to lose fear completely. We've got to become the most courageous people that there are. Hallelujah. We got to be, if anybody's encouraging, anybody's going forward, it should be us. Hallelujah. If anybody got something, we're going ahead at something, let it be us. When I look at people that weren't saved, and yet they weren't even born again, but yet walked and they were just dedicated to things and that stuff, what is me as a Christian would want to come up life less? If the sinner will stand up and the saint won't, how on earth? How on earth? You see, this love for Jesus Christ and putting Him first will lead us to that place. We'll raise families that are full of courage. We'll raise, it'll make the huge difference of everything. See, when I dedicated myself to Jesus Christ, it changed everything concerning Wanda and I's relationship. The best thing I ever did was put Jesus first in my life and not Wanda. Yet I won Wanda because of Jesus Christ in my life. We keep trying to win the person. Knock it off. Let Jesus Christ win you. Let Jesus Christ finally win you. Give up your life. Get on the cross. It's time to die, folks. It's time to die. It's time to, enough of me. I've had all of me I can put up with. It's time to see Jesus. You're going to be Lord. You're going to rule this thing. Lord Jesus, I'm making commitment to you. And I'll guarantee you, you'll make commitments and break them and then have to repent and go back and do it again. But go back and do it again. If you're a quitter, you're done. You just don't even start if you plan on quitting. I'm serious. Don't start. Well, there's no point in starting if you plan on quitting, because you will. You'll quit. Because you'll miss it. You'll miss it, but you get back up again. And I learned. I'll tell you, first done 1-9, I've done wore that thing out. I've worn that one out, man. But you know what? It's still good. God still honors it. All the times I've used it, and He acts like it's a new scripture. He don't change concerning it. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm heading in a direction. See, this thing God's dealing with, because, you know, these things that are happening, we want to move on to victory, but you can't move on to victory with an army that can't fight, with an army that is so weak-willed. You can't. You can't go on with it. Everybody can't stay back and say, I want to work in the supply room. That's the church today. We'll work in the supply room. We'll send checks to every ministry and let them go do it. You know what? A lot of ministries, they like that. They like that kind of ministry. You send us the checks. We'll do the things and you just send them to us. And you just keep sending us checks. God wants people. You ain't a dollar sign to God. You're a person that's anointed and called of God for purpose. The body of Christ is really a different kind of army. Because what sometimes a person on the front line, you can have somebody who's not on the front line, that God does something so miraculous it changes more than a person on the front line's changing. It's about God being able to use you. You're like Kenneth Hagin would tell the story of the woman down in West Texas who would pray for God to start churches. So she would pick a church on. She had a map and she'd pray every day. She'd take a map and she would stick a pin in a certain place where there was no full gospel church. And she'd stick a pin on that town and she would pray months and months and months on end. But she would pray and pray, maybe for years. She'd pray to a church start in that area. Then she'd take another town. And she would put a little sticker in that town. And she'd go back praying for that town till God would start one. Kenneth Hagin said the most interesting thing. He said, all these ministers are going to come along and talk about how the churches they started. And she said, actually, they didn't start a one of them. She started them. Yet she was on the front line of none of it. But she started every one of them churches. If she wouldn't have done that, that wouldn't have happened. He said, when you get to heaven, she said, the crown that woman's got. All that she did. And you know what? It was sacrifice. She'd pray 8 to 10 hours a day. Do you know, if you ever read the New Testament, Paul talks in there about widows and supporting widows in the church. Do you know if a widow ain't a prayer and spend a lot of time in prayer, you ain't supposed to support her? But that's in the Bible. Let's go on. We're so sweet today. The church ain't supposed to be supporting them unless they're given to prayer. He didn't say because they needed lunch. We know very little about the New Testament. We know about all these faith scriptures. There's nothing wrong with knowing the faith scriptures. I know them, and I've preached them. But there's a lot more to it than that. Retired people should be spending more time with God if they ain't working. See, I got an opportunity over this time. You know, we just had a great opportunity we have to spend a lot more time with God. Wonder what we did with it. I won't ask. I won't ask. What did we do with it? All this time. What did church do with all this time? We're going to find out. We're going to reap what we sowed. We will find out what we did with it. I ain't saying this stuff trying to be mean. I'm just telling you, this is just the way it is. This is just the way it is. This is just Bible. See, we've got to come back again. God is opening the whole Bible up now again to us. I remember it used to be back in the 80s when I came into Kingdom, we used to talk about how we believe the whole Bible. Today, the average Spirit-filled church is basically a Lutheran church. They have their certain scriptures that they do and ignore most of the rest of the New Testament and the rest of the Bible. They have their group little scripture. This is what we're standing with. Here's where we're at. And the rest of the Bible is... they ignore so many things. I mean, commitment's just taught all the time. And I mean, people really get serious in it. It's like Jerry Seville said, he's a pastor of a church. He said, there isn't any time whenever I teach concerning commitment, there's always people leave the church. There's people always leave the church. Isn't that something? Now, if you taught about, you know, giving a quarter and getting a million back, my God, they'd run in the door and knock each other down to get seats. But you don't know how to give two quarters. That's another thing. Hey, you might as well laugh. Praise God. Well, let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah, together. Hallelujah. I meddled long enough. But, you know, hey, we're all in this thing together, folks. It's not about any certain person or any certain thing. It's about all of us. You know, I was really excited when God told me to go over and start to teach on courage. I thought it was really good. And then he told me commitment. I said, boy, this is going to go over like a lead balloon. But you know, I'm just going to be honest. I need it. I need going in and looking at these things and setting down because number one, if you don't see what the word says, you can never judge yourself accordingly. You can never do it. You can't grow up ignoring things. You can't do it. You have to look at things. And, you know, we have to look at the hard sayings just as much as we do the other ones. We got to look at those and look and examine them in the light. And that's what I'm saying. Don't get over into this condemnation thing. Let God take these things and go over there. Let God, what do I need to do? What are you expecting of me? Am I really checking your own heart? What are you willing? Are you willing to commit yourself? Are you willing to commit, you know, you know, I remember, you know, years ago and listening to ministers talk back years ago and they would talk about and even teach about, you know, your money, that's God's money. You know, most people, their money isn't God's money. You know, we've learned to divide that up. We have God's, you get 10%. That's God's. We know very little about people. No, God's, you get 100%. What do you want? What am I supposed to do with my finances? Where am I at? Why? We have this fear that if I let God in it, he might take it. And I won't have nothing. God's not going to do that. The scripture shows you he's not going to do that. He wants you to be blessed. But see, if you're afraid to give it to him, you're going to have this place, this block, where you're not going to get back from God what you keep asking for. It ain't going to show up because your faith is limited. Your faith is limited. Faith is based in trust in God. And if you can't trust him with it, how are you going to believe for something for it? You see, we don't realize many times we have places in us that are unbelief and we will not let that be touched. Committing yourself to something, you know, I remember one time listening to an individual talking about, you know, that They had this in themselves. There was a certain nation they didn't want to go to. They didn't want to go there. And they just struggled. And you know, they went years and years and years, but they knew in their life there was something somewhere. Something was not working right in them. Something just wasn't working right. And they knew there was just limitations and they never had a fullness of blessing in their life that they wanted, and nothing, just things didn't work. And it went on for years. And finally one day they decided to listen to God. And the Lord spoke to them about going to that nation. And what they wanted to hear. They didn't want to hear that. But they stopped and got themselves finally said, "Lord, you want me to go? I'll go. I'm going. Okay. What do you want me to do? I'll go. I'll obey." God said, "I never wanted you to go to that nation." He said, "You must be willing. You need to understand this about you," and there's right here today. There's places that you have within you that you're unwilling. This is where this commitment thing deals at, is in those areas. There's things within you that you have, and you know, sometimes we don't think about it. There's certain areas we keep to ourselves. Everybody has it. It's part of growing up. But sometimes we don't release maybe certain areas. We don't think much about it. Just stopping and saying, that little place that hinders, and saying, "Okay, Lord, okay. What do you want me to do? I'll do whatever you want me to do there." Now, that doesn't matter. Maybe he does want you to do something there, but he may not. There's one thing that God will always want out of you, especially if you want to move to a place of strong faith, is be willing. Whatever he wants is be willing. Whatever you want me to do. See, I made that commitment that night. I said, "Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to be willing to do it. I'm going to go." Do you know one of the things that came to me about? That I'd give my life to the gospel. That I'd die preaching the gospel. It's one of the things that came to me that night. I never told people about that. Wanda talked about it. The Lord spoke to her about that. Now let me just say this to you. I don't know that God wants me to die preaching the gospel, but I know this. I'm willing. If it costs me my life, man, it ain't worth spit. This gospel, this glorious Jesus, is worth giving everything for. This Jesus is something else. See, I don't know if that's... You sit around, people say, "Well, where do you ever think about that?" No, other than the fact I'm willing. I'm just down here serving now. That's what I'm doing. I'm sitting here. Well, whatever it takes, I'm willing to do it. Whatever it takes. See, many people are willing to do it. Many people are willing to die for America. Many people are willing to die for their family. They're all good things, you know, protection, doing that. But how many are willing to die for Jesus? Ain't many of them. That army is really small. It's a squad. It ain't even a company, I don't think. But you know what? You want to come to the place. It isn't that you're going to have to give your life, but my life doesn't matter without his. I didn't have a life till I got him. I didn't have one. I was lost for eternity. I heard my neighbor who'd killed himself, committed suicide. I heard his voice cry out from hell. I heard the anguish of that voice. It is nothing like, that anguish is nothing like that. I've ever heard anything from the natural of a person being in pain and stuff. It was such an agonizing, I can hear it today. It's just like I can hear anything spiritual happens. You just like it just happened. I can hear that anguish cry from his voice. And I ain't going there. Jesus saved me from that. Death takes me directly to him. Woo! See, I want to see what Paul said. Dying's far better to be with Christ. Hallelujah. You lose the fear of death, and it's amazing how far your faith will go. My word, it's easy to get healed when you ain't afraid of death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I thank you this day. Lord God, you're taking us places. You're reaching us into things. Lord God, looking into us. Father, in my mind, I can hear the words of Kenneth E. Hagin before he left when he said, oh, my. He said, I just can't even tell you what the glory is like, what it's like. I can't even tell you. There's no words to explain it. Lord God, Lord, I don't know what it is, but there's like a glimpse. I know it's like we're standing at a door of glory that is so great, that is so phenomenal, that is so incredible. Hallelujah. And that door's about to get kicked down. That door is about to get kicked down. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'll say it to you. The Spirit of the Lord said this to me before I went up to minister. He reminded me of something. He said the healing revival, the great healing revival of the 1950s came after America had suffered through the Second World War and was in the Korean War when it broke loose. Hallelujah. We're in the middle of a battle. How we act in this battle has a lot to do with the glory. Hallelujah. Oh, people saw suffering, but I want to tell you what, God had a move planned. Hallelujah. God had a move planned, and there's a move planned. Hallelujah. And you might be, that's why don't get caught with your view on the war. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's glory. It's just that when I was praying, it was just like there's a door just to be knocked. It's like we're right at that door. We're right at that door. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I don't know. I just know there's such great glory beyond that door. I can't tell you what all that glory is, but there's just such a great glory beyond that door. And when that door gets kicked open, oh my, it's going to get on us. Hallelujah. That's going to get on us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 We're going through some things now. We're going through struggles. We're going through preparation, and there's a preparation for that glory. And God prepared a people and prepared a nation for that glory through the hardships they went through. And God prepared them for a glory. Now, these things going right now is preparing things in this nation and people in this nation for that glory, because people will now be ready for that glory. In good times, they are never ready for the glory. In good times, they don't even want the glory. In good times, the church don't even want the glory. Hallelujah. But now, God has been preparing us for the glory. God has been working on us for years now, step by step, getting us ready for this glory. And you will be ready. You will be ready for the glory. You have been prepared, your soldiers. Hallelujah. You're prepared for the fight. You're ready to lay you down and pick him up. You're ready now. You're ready to take on the armor now. You're ready to walk out in front. Hallelujah. For fear is gone and glory's come. Hallelujah. And I'll anoint you in these times, says the Lord. I will have anoint you. And when my anointing comes on you, surely you'll become a different people. Yes. You will rise up into that place that you only dreamed about. The times that you have thought about and thought, oh, if I could walk in this place, or if I could do this, or I could do that, your dreams will come to pass, and you will walk far beyond what you ever even dreamed that you would do. For I'm the God of glory, and my glory will bring to pass in my people what nothing else could bring to pass. And you'll go forth in boldness, and you'll speak my word, and your hands will be my hands. Hallelujah. The dead will be raised. The sick will be healed. Lame will walk. The blind will see. And my glory will go forth. And millions upon millions upon millions flowing into the kingdom. Great floods of people. Hordes of people coming into the kingdom. Hallelujah. People coming in love with Jesus Christ. For the true gospel will be preached. And my glory will fall upon this land and the lands of the earth. And there shall be great glory in these last days. And then the end shall come. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, my. Boy, is it better preaching in front of people. I tell you, oh, my God. Hallelujah. Whew. My God, the anointing comes. Glory to God. Oh, the people only knew how the church needs each other. The church needs each other because the glory is greater. Oh, there's nothing like the corporate anointing. There's nothing like when we're pulling together. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! My. What a flow of the Spirit. Hallelujah. My. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Folks, we ain't lost nothing through this thing. This hasn't been lost. Don't be troubled. This has been gain. Hallelujah. Our gain. Glory to God. God is setting things in motion. The devil thinks he's doing some stuff. Hallelujah. Oh, my word. That dumb devil killed Jesus. Didn't know he was setting his own death sentence on his head. What an idiot. Hallelujah. What do you think God's doing today? You think he's sitting on the sideline, sitting there, oh, what's the devil doing now? It's like he always does to him. He has set a trap for him. He's about to lose his grip on much. He's about to lose his grip on much. Hallelujah. Because there is a remnant church that's ready. There's a remnant church that is an army that is absolutely phenomenal. It's not made of numbers. It's made of servants of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Full of glory. Full of the power of God. That's what it is. It's the church of Jesus Christ. It is called the glorious church. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I hope you got something today. I did. I needed to get that out and preach on the anointing. It's different for me too. The hearing my message is different for me under the anointing. Hallelujah. You might have felt under conviction. I sure did. I had to preach it, you know. Did you ever preach words that put you under conviction? Well, you need to. Hallelujah. But I'm encouraged today. I'm encouraged to make a greater stand. I'm encouraged. Hallelujah. We're heading in the right direction. We don't have to be afraid of anything, folks. God is going to take care of the church. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, people are going to come into the kingdom in these last days because of the church being taken care of. People are going to leave these false churches and these churches out, these play churches that have opened, and they're going to come to the real. They're going to see. There's numbers of churches that are going to close. They're going to close. There's numbers of churches because the finances right now are going to end up getting closed down, shut down. And you know what? Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. They need to be shut down. God's taking care of what's His. I don't care what they say and what they talk about their beliefs. If God ain't upholding it, it wasn't worth nothing. The church at Laodicea, they said, it looks like they were a good church. Well, God wasn't even in it. Their stuff needs to be shut down today. And glory of God, it will be. And those people will now have the opportunity to go hear truth stuff. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.